Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Fighting over pies, fighting over quarterbacks, QBs, all leading into a holiday. Happy early Thanksgiving, folks. Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Jhené Ogumike and Michael Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, Monday. Today is Monday. Happy Monday. We've been doing a good job of keeping it like business and straight here. And speaking of which, Monday Night Football is tonight between the Rams and the Bucks. And in about 30 minutes, we will talk to our own ESPN NFL analyst who has been on the call in the booth during Rams games, taking us inside that locker room when facing against an all-time great in Tom Brady. But I want to talk about these quarterbacks because people are fighting over them. Everyone is in their feelings. And, you know, I was just talking about the Bucks and the matchup tonight. But, you know, staying in Florida, if we think about it, one team has us really, really confused. And we'll start with them there because the Dolphins took on the Broncos yesterday. And it was a rather, I guess you can say, slow night for Tua Tagovailoa. He throws 83 yards and has one TD, but then eventually he gets benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, that has us all confused because it seems like contrary to everything that we heard from head coach Brian Flores. Now, Junior, how do you feel about this whole situation where you have the guy that you said is going to get you to win games and then you say you take him out for that same reason?
Confused? Like, what is this really about at this point? I didn't agree with taking Ryan Fitzpatrick out of the lineup. You were competitive. You were 3-3 when Ryan Fitzpatrick came out of the lineup. We know in this year's AFC East, a lot more volatile, the Patriots down, that you were going to have a shot and an opportunity to go and maybe do some things. And this team still might, the way the defense and special teams have played. But, Jhené, I figured this is a long-term play. The Dolphins getting antsy, looking around, saying, all right, Joe Burrow's been out here balling. Justin Herbert surprised a lot of people and it looked like maybe the best quarterback in the class. We got to get our shiny new toy out of there that we've been tanking for the last 2 years. And we're just going to go for the long haul. We got a young team. Ryan Fitzpatrick's the only dude over 30 on this roster. We'll live with it. But then all of a sudden, things get hairy, things get close, and Brian Flores was asked, was this about Tua being benched because of injury? This was his response.
No, Tua wasn't injured. We just felt like it was the best move at that point in the game. We had to get in a two-minute mode, and we just felt like he gave us the best chance to win the game, which we had an opportunity at the end.
So, Jhené, Brian Flores, to this point, has earned the right for me to believe his words, and so if I'm to believe that, then I'm to be confused about what direction this team is actually going. Are you eyeing the future? Are you trying to win? And if so, the decision-making to this point doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
Okay, so we hear that side, right, between Coach Flores saying, hey, this was the decision for us to win a game. But then can we also play Tua sound in the sense of, hey, what was going through my head and what I was communicated?
Absolutely. Here was Tua Tagovailoa, the Dolphins quarterback, talking about his thought process while he was being benched late in this game.
My thoughts were whatever was going to be best for the team. When I was in, we couldn't really get things going. And, you know, coach felt like it was the best decision to put Fitz in to try to give us a spark. So when I heard that, you know, it's really what's best for the team. And I mean, if we were to win with Fitz in there, you know, the locker room would be a lot different. Everyone would be a lot happier. But, you know, it just sucks to lose.
So hearing all of this, it's really interesting to me because they're on the same page in the sense that, hey, we're trying to win the game and we want a spark, especially down the stretch versus the Broncos. So yeah, let's throw in the vet, the wily vet. But then what we've been hearing over the course of the entire season is just the opposite in the sense that, hey, we sort of had this padding here to see Tua's strengths and his ceiling. And it sort of seems like just when there was a bump in the road, they sort of reversed course instead of staying true to the philosophy that we heard all season long.
Yeah, Jhené, this becomes the interesting part is, what do we believe? Because you brought this up earlier, that maybe they actually were worried. Tua was sacked 6 times in that game. He hadn't been sacked more than twice in the previous 4 games leading up to that.
And that's the most also including Alabama when he was there.
And so you could see, all right, for a quarterback, you mentioned Alabama was coming off that hip injury, that you look and say, all right, Vic Fangio's got our O-line numbered. These guys up front cannot handle this right now, and it's getting our young quarterback rocked. We don't want to put him in this situation, and he hasn't been productive. Being upfront about that would have created a lot different headspace for everyone hearing that news who would say, well, yeah, you know what? Ryan Fitzpatrick has demonstrated an ability to get the ball out quick, to help this offensive line look a little better in the process by making those decisions that a veteran player can make who's seen that much football, as opposed to a rookie who's processing all of this in real time on an NFL field for just his 4th game.
You know what's even funnier? I'm thinking about being upfront about things. In one situation, we are hearing things that doesn't go along with the philosophy over the course of the season. But then, you know, if you switch gears to Doug Peterson and the Eagles in the sense that, okay, we're saying he's our guy. We're never going to bench. And this is Doug Peterson saying this. We're never going to bench Carson Wentz. But it's sort of like at this point, Is that the solution? Should we be exploring other options? Because you see teams around the league that are actually doing that.
Well, Chinay, it's interesting that the way Doug Peterson phrases, and we'll play this sound in a second, because he talked about sending a message. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to read the tea leaves in all of this and see what sort of message is being sent. Doug Peterson references one message here. I think another message is being sent. Let's listen to Doug.
If you get to that spot, whether you don't start him or you bench, I think you're sending the wrong message to your football team that the season's over, and that's a bad message. And we have to work through this. Times, when times get tough, it's, sometimes that might be the easy thing to do. And this business is about work. This business is about, detailing, having ownership, things I talk about with the team. And that's what we got to do. That's coaches and players. That's not one guy, it's bigger. This sport's bigger than one guy. And we all have a hand in it, and we all have to fix it.
Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. Go ahead. Sorry, Janae.
And I was about to say, it's funny because when we compare the two, we see in Philadelphia where a coach is saying, literally, we're benching him, and that sends a message of the season is over, versus when you go to Brian Flores in Miami and we're benching him, we're trying to spark and save our season. I guess it's the NFC East, though. So, yeah.
Janae, it's both of them making decisions when there are actual stakes, right? We talked about this with the Dolphins before, where now all of a sudden Brian Flores is making decisions around the most important position in football. And they got, potential here. We've talked about them during portions of the season, potentially as a playoff team. And so all of it strikes a different chord than a team that's looking at the long-term trajectory versus the Eagles, where it's made very clear there. They know they're still in contention in the NFC East right now because the division is that bad. And so they don't think that putting in Jalen Hurts makes them a winning football team in that capacity. They don't think that their rookie second-round pick is going to be helping them win games. It might help them find out answers about the long term, but if Doug Peterson's looking at this locker room and still saying, right, wrong, or indifferent, we have a chance to win a division in the NFL in 2020, that quarterback is not going to give us the option to do that. That's what I believe the message being sent is.
I'd have to agree, though, to some degree, because anytime I think of the NFC East, I sort of want to laugh, but I think that's everybody. I don't think that benching Carson Wentz is the answer. Do you agree? I don't think that's the answer.
No, well, I think they're in a tough situation because benching him right now wouldn't be about thinking Jalen Hurts is better. It would be about holding people accountable in these situations, right? Like standing up in front of this room. But the Eagles are in a complicated situation where they're so bad they should be out of it. Any other year in any other division, they would be. And this decision would be a lot easier to look at what you have. But they're still in it. And so Doug Peterson knows, all right, I got a banged up football team in a million places. I know Carson Wentz has played bad. I know he's not been good enough in a lot of spots in here, and plenty of people have said that. The difference is he doesn't believe as a coach that he's got the leeway to turn down what he believes is the best possible path to them potentially making the playoffs, which is better for his job security. Like, Doug Peterson is probably not someone who's going to walk out of this year unscathed when it comes to criticism.
Yeah, it's true. And it's funny because I kind of feel like that dose would work also in the AFC East when it comes to the Dolphins. It's like, just stick to one course and stay with it when it comes to your quarterback, because I feel for Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, to have to go in there and try to win last minute after sort of, and I would like to say, like, it kind of is embarrassing. Like, you did everything you could have to put your team in a position to compete, and then you hand the keys off, and then everything's good, and then all of a sudden you're not the answer, then now you're the answer, and then you still fall short. Like, it's tough. I think consistency is key, and we're seeing it play out in two completely different forms between the Eagles and the Dolphins.
It really has been difficult, I'm sure, for those locker rooms to process around them. You can understand the situation as well as anybody, but these are still human beings that are looking at, all right, we're also on teams, all the players in the Philly locker room and the Miami locker room, that think we got a shot. What exactly would you say we're doing here? Yeah. And I think that's a question that's going to be answered week to week at this point for a lot of folks involved. Speaking of things that we're looking forward to hearing the answer to, The Undefeated presents Tiger Woods, America's Son, this Sunday, November 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. The one-hour documentary examines Tiger Woods' complex racial identity and the meaning of the golfer's success in America. Immediately following its debut, the documentary is going to be available exclusively on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. By the way, we're going to have the documentary's director, Lauren Stowell, on the show tomorrow with
Losto.
Us.
Losto, love her.
Excited about that. Really cool opportunity and a great project learning about one of the all-time greats in a sport and the impact he's had on larger society with all of that.
You're going to stop me from saying what I was going to say? I know you laid out for me.
What? Go ahead.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
I did not know you were going to say that.
Really, Cliff? We've been good all day. Come on now.
We're good up until that point.
We can't know our limits if every once in a while we don't
reach
out.
The limit does not exist. The limit does not exist.
Wait a minute. The limit does not exist.
Okay, cut us the break. Let's go.
My God. Coming up next, speaking of the limit, we feel like right now the NFL limit is about Kansas City Chiefs range. Can some team tonight make us change our minds? We'll try and figure that out next. It's Chanay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus, also on the ESPN app. Chinay Ogwuma, Mike Golic Jr. here with you. I've been waiting to do that all this time. Chinay Ogwuma, Mike Golic Jr., combining our names, a fusion as one. Yes.
Wow. You're really striking out with Cliff right now.
It's okay. It's all right. I'm my own best friend, my own cheerleader. I'll keep plowing through.
So just to be clear, what did you think the combination of our two names was?
Chinay Ogwuma, Mike Golic Jr.
Oh, okay. You know what? I just heard Chinay Ogwuma. Chinay Ogwuma, Mike Golic Jr. actually is the way I remember how to spell your last name in my head is because I know it's got Mike in it, selfishly.
We're still working on your whole Chinenye Ogwumike, but it's all right. We have time
Chinenye
for that.
Ogwumike.
Oh, look. Give him some snaps.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Okay, love it. And speaking of working on that in time, in about 10 minutes, we will check in with our ESPN NFL analyst to prepare us for Monday Night Football. I'm so excited between the Rams and the Bucks, two contenders. But at this point, even though we have two contenders on display tonight, I feel like even with the undefeated Steelers, we still think it's Kansas City and the field. And it's funny because after the game versus the Raiders, I will reiterate these facts that Patrick Mahomes gets the ball back with 1 minute and 43 seconds left in the game. Oh, what did producer Shannon say? You got to be quicker than that. You got to be quicker than that. You know, that favorite commercial with the guy fishing. And then he scores a touchdown. So he gets the ball back with 1 minute 43 left. He scores a touchdown with 28 seconds left, meaning 7 plays, 75 yards, and 75 seconds. And by the way, you thought this would be a hotly contested TD. Oh boy, was wide open in the end zone. So I guess this begs the question, are we still even with an undefeated Steelers in the landscape where they are having the best start in franchise history at 10-0? We still think it's Kansas City or bust, right?
It seems to be that, Chanay. At this point, it's Kansas City versus the field. That's why tonight's game is so interesting because the other team talent-wise, and I think public sentiment-wise, this is always interesting the way we gauge these things, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as soon as Tom Brady came onto the scene and started becoming a part of this process, we saw them add Leonard Fournette and then bring Antonio Brown over, and we just go, wow, they're loading this roster up for a Super Bowl run here with the GOAT playing quarterback. And then they got completely shellacked by the New Orleans Saints, and everyone looked at that and said, oh, okay, well, maybe we're a little more confused now. They've got a Monday Night Football stage against a pretty darn good defense in the Los Angeles Rams tonight. If they don't go out and look dominant in that performance or at least show well in the same ways, we're all going to go right back to thinking what we probably should have to begin with. It is the Chiefs versus the field until further notice because they've got a Patrick Mahomes and you don't, and sometimes it's that simple.
Yeah, and it's funny because, I will give credit to Jason Fitz for this, okay? Because he sort of said, I am thinking about this NFL season in segments, 3 week segments. And for those first few weeks, especially with that, I guess you can say cherry on top with the win over the Packers, the Bucs defense showing out, Tom Brady, they're getting weapons back. They pick up AB and all that type of stuff. Mike Evans is healthy. Chris Godwin comes back. All of it looks like it's poised for them to actually make some real noise. But now they're in a position where they're 7-3 versus the Saints 8-2, where they have a Taysom Hill that steps in, looks pretty good. He's going to be able to manage the games, and then they have the Saints an easier schedule. The Bucks definitely need a statement win, but I think it's funny because the big picture here is that this year I feel like the bye means so much, and so when we're looking at teams, even the Chiefs, if we're going to say the big picture here, they still have a blemish on their record, and they're chasing the Steelers, where literally, I know, did you hear that Steelers soundbite? I think it was Ben saying we're not chasing being undefeated, we're chasing a Lombardi, but what helps is being undefeated, taking that home route all the way through. And so I feel like even though the Chiefs are, it's the Chiefs versus the field, they would love to sort of creep up, and I think they'd have to definitely not mess up, and then the Steelers would have to for them to actually feel really good moving into the playoffs.
It's all part of our Monday Night Football kickoff brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And Chanay, I think you're right. I think that's what makes this interesting is we all look and believe the Chiefs are the best team, but we know the Pittsburgh Steelers are undefeated right now. We look at that and say, whether it's talking to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders who comes on here and gives us their predictions and what their model tells us, which is the Steelers are very unlikely to finish the regular season undefeated. undefeated because they play a brand of football where they're not going to blow you out in a lot of these games for the most part. It's going to be some ball control. They're going to keep it close with a short passing game and a dominant defense, but they're going to find a way to win because they are a veteran outfit. It just feels like at some point, if that slips up at all, the Chiefs are doing the thing where they start to, in the back half of the season, kind of take this more seriously, right? Where at the beginning of the year, you don't forget calling it the Super Bowl hangover. They're a team so talented, they know we don't necessarily got to bring our A game until we get to the postseason, because we did just hit a bunch of comebacks in that postseason run, including in the Super Bowl, to win that game. And we believe, and they've demonstrated yet again on a big stage like primetime Sunday Night Football, that they're capable of that this year too.
Yeah, and I while you talk about, like, clearly we're saying that, I don't even know what the ESPN NFL power rankings are, but clearly the Chiefs are at the top, but, like, under them, right, the Steelers. I think it's funny because you talk about this so much in our pre-show and post-show, but I want you to give love to Chase Claypool because I know we're talking about the Steelers and they're doing their job being undefeated, but they also had, like, to me, probably the best touchdown dance at the end of, you know, from this weekend. Did you see the Juju Smith happy birthday blow, you know, wish? I thought that was kind of cute.
I did. They've done a remarkable job coordinating in that receiver room, and now listen, the Steelers deserve a ton of credit for the way that I'm never going to discredit what the Steelers are accomplishing. Winning professional football games, winning professional sports games are difficult, difficult business. And the Steelers go out and they represent that process well. And they have a damn good time doing it, like that receiver group that you just mentioned.
Wait, can you stand for your boy Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame? Because I know you said he was, like, sort of slighted in some way.
Yeah, no, well, I was trying to filibuster while I scrolled down to find the tweet that had the information in this that I needed because I was not fully prepared for that moment in time. But yeah, Chase Claypool became the first wide receiver in the Super Bowl era and the fourth in league history with at least 10 touchdowns through his first 10 career games, and yet somehow was omitted from the list of top 10 rookies that I believe we put out not too long ago. So there's never too late to do the right thing there and fix your life and get Chase Claypool in that moment because he deserves it.
And given all of that, we're still saying Chiefs, and that's the beauty of their team right now.
Well, and Chiney, I will give you the definitive reason as to why, because I've said third and 15 plus, fourth and 15 plus, the Chiefs got you right where they want you. And that extends into larger game scenarios. In the fourth quarter, Patrick Mahomes has the second highest QBR in the fourth quarter in overtime through 10 games in the last 15 seasons. This trails only one person, 2007 Tom Brady. Like the 2007 Randy Moss, undefeated, offense the likes of which we've never seen, laying waste to the entire league offense in all of this. That Tom Brady. So if you're trailing only that dude late in the game, good luck to everybody else. That Monday Night Preview, football preview, is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For more protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Going to be very interesting to see if anyone can go against Patrick Mahomes and the field. But coming up next, what do we make of what we saw from Derek Carr on the other side? And who's got the most to prove in Monday Night Football? We'll hit all that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Potatoes, tomatoes. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes. You name. Okay, yeah. Thanksgiving is coming up, and I'm going to be singing that song on repeat. Now, in about 10 minutes, we'll be taking a trip to visit the Pope. You heard that correctly. Visiting the Pope in spirit. Haha, you get it. As we keep that same energy, Chiney. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, we haven't done it and I missed it and I just need it from you really quick, Mike Golic Jr. It's Monday and we're still here. I'm very proud of us. We're still here.
We are. We've managed somehow, even though you are making jokes about the Pope getting bucket. Like, is the Pope a bucket?
That wasn't a joke. It's a fact, and you'll hear about it in about 10 minutes. But to get us set for Monday, because we're still here in spirit.
I just want to know if the Pope can hoop.
Oh, I bet you can get a good bucket. Like, he probably got a nice little fadeaway, layup, cross. Yeah, he's with the smoke. But we're delighted right now to be joined by, to set us straight, our own ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes, here with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, Mina, to get us back on track, it's Monday. We're looking forward to this game between the Bucks and the Rams. And, you know, we hear, especially as kids, how to cope with losing. And sometimes we hear, you know, your best just isn't good enough, but you should be proud because you played your best, right? You tried your best. And I feel like that's exactly how the Las Vegas Raiders feel after their outcome, you know, versus Patrick Mahomes driving the field and getting a win. And I also saw this tweet, because given like you tried your best and you still fell short, Derek Carr has been better this season than he was a few years ago when he got that MVP buzz. How do you see that game? Clearly Mahomes pulls off miracles, Junior. But you know, seeing how they all lost and it was tough to lose in that fashion, what do you make of their performance, specifically their quarterbacks?
Well, I don't want to get back on track. I still want to talk about the Pope getting buckets. Wasn't it Kyle Kuzma who said that he could cross up Jesus or something?
Yes.
Or maybe anyone.
True.
He wouldn't even be afraid. But speaking of miracles, speaking of you know, religion, I suppose, Derek Carr looks like he's been to church. I don't know, man. He's been just having quite a season. Maybe a better way to put it, and more appropriate way, is to just say Raiders fans, their prayers have been answered, because
Amen.
Derek Carr is taking risks. He is airing the ball out. He is making plays with his feet. And I think what's been so frustrating for that fan base for so long is that he's been capable of it. He's always been a very cerebral quarterback. He's always been able to go through his progressions to, you know, operate an offense to its fullest extent. His arm is incredible. His mechanics are there. But there's always been sort of this, not always, but often been hesitation on his part to throw into tight windows, throw it deep, and sometimes they've lacked the weapons to do so. And all that seems to be gone. And it is funny to watch a game like that and come away feeling better about a team that just lost. But I have to think that Raiders fans feel that way, because that, you know, you really felt like whoever possessed the ball last won, and they simply left a little bit too much time for Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if the Raiders' defense, I don't believe, frankly, that they're good enough to win at all, but this is one of the best offenses in the league, and they're going to be in contention no matter what in January.
Mina, I'm curious to that end. Derek Carr, they had an out if they wanted it next year. His dead cap money's super low, and we know he's getting up towards being an unrestricted free agent the year following. Do you think at this point, because there's been questions about him and Gruden's compatibility and if they wanted him long term, do you think he's the guy long term for them?
I do, yeah. And it's, I should say, it's not based on a small sample size. Derek Carr was pretty good last season, too. He wasn't as good as he's been this year, but he wasn't taking the kind of risks I talked about earlier, but he was an efficient quarterback by just about any metric. And so this isn't like a flash in the pan, oh, can he keep it up? Like, they know his floor is high. So I wouldn't be surprised if they look to get an extension done with him, because the issues with this team, as I alluded to, are on the defense, not the offense.
Here with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us on Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Now, Mina, what about on the other side of the ball when it comes to Patrick Mahomes? He made the impossible look so easy with even like 28 seconds left on the clock, starting the drive with 1:43 left on the clock. So crazy. What did you see there that most people probably missed?
I'm trying to think of something I saw that most people missed, because I think the funny thing about Mahomes is at this point we all expect it out of him. Right. So and you're right. He makes it look easy. There's this kind of like sense when you watch the Chiefs that they're operating at 80%. I mean, they seem to almost take plays off. I think about that one drive where I think it was on first or second down. They had Kelce throw the shovel pass. He did kind of a little underhand softball maneuver. Nothing came of it. And you watch that, and with most teams, you'd be like, well, that's a wasted play. But when you watch the Chiefs, they're like, it doesn't matter. It's Andy Reid. He's just kind of messing around. I think what you're seeing out of Kansas City in terms of, like, this part of the season versus some of their struggles early on at times, even when they're winning games, is Patrick Mahomes drifting a little bit less in the pocket. The offensive line has been playing better. And so there's a little bit more consistency there. They'll still beat you 1,000 different ways. I think as a Chiefs fan, if there was anything to be nervous about, it would be the lack of pass rush at times. But I would remind people that the Raiders offensive line, even banged up, they're missing a couple guys because of COVID, they're still one of the better offensive lines in the league. But I think going forward for Kansas City, if there is a weakness on the team, it's going to be outside of Chris Jones. Can they consistently generate enough of a pass rush?
Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Gwimbake. We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes. You can check out her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, wherever you get your podcasts.
Great live NFL pod, you guys. Loved it.
We had a great time on the live pod, even though I found out I wasn't anywhere close to the favorite guest on there. But I digress. That was a cruel, cruel pull that was on there.
Awkward.
Very, very awkward. Going to try and transition away from this one, Mina, for my own pride here, and ask you this. We've talked so glowingly about the Kansas City Chiefs and what we've seen from them there. I'm curious, as you look at Monday Night Football tonight, a lot of people think Tampa Bay could be the best challenger coming out of the NFC. They've been uneven. So against that Rams defense especially, what are you looking at tonight that's going to gauge for you how close they are to being able to knock off a team like the Chiefs?
Can Tom Brady and the Bucs offense generally find an answer against pressure? A defensive front in Los Angeles that is one of the better pass rushing units in the league. And frankly, it's been one of the better pass defenses completely from top to bottom. They've really stopped the deep pass, which is what Brady and that Bucs offense has excelled in when they've been clicking. The Bucs offense, you know, it's been so inconsistent, guys, because when they face defenses that have been able to pressure Brady, whether it's, you know, the Saints or the Bears, you've seen them collapse. His splits when he's pressuring, when he's not, versus when he's kept clean, are dramatic. So I want to see, do they have answers for Brady? You know, he's so notoriously good against the blitz, but what about when Aaron Donald comes through when they're not blitzing? Do they have a counter, whether it's with a quick game, screens, a run game, what have you? Because that's going to be the difference between a Super Bowl, like an actual Super Bowl campaign for this Bucs team, and a disappointing season.
Great stuff, as always. You can watch her as a part of NFL Live every day at 4 Eastern here on ESPN. And again, check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Mina, always a pleasure. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mina.
Bye, guys.
Our ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes, joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. All right, Chinay, Mina wanted to stick with it at the beginning. We didn't get a chance to. And so coming up next, why one Hall of Famer put the league on notice yet again, if any of you were unclear about who Daddy was.
Oh.
The top of the AFC playoff picture got an exciting reminder from a younger player. And the NFL quarterback comp for the Pope. That's all coming up. It's Chinay Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Golick Jr., the podcast.
Junior, you're like my right hand. You're like my go-to. Okay? Chinay Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are streaming live. Chinay, oh, come on. Let me live, Cliff. It's a Monday. Chinay, I was going to even say Chinay Ogwum, Mike Golick Jr., but I'm just going to stop while I'm ahead again. Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. How is that? I said you're my right hand, you're my go-to, you're my people. Like, what's wrong with that?
Cliff hit
Listen, you doing your thing, and I appreciate it. You trying to bring some different flavors. What is it, Chinay Ogwumike or something like that? Is that
Chinay Ogwum, Mike Golick Jr.?
Yeah, that was a bad one, too. Listen, you're reaching some new levels of coordinates today, but I love it. This is you. This is your personality.
You guys finally got me a couple months in. Yes, I am a cornball, but hey, you love it, okay? Love it or shove it. I'll still be here anyways. And speaking of our people, we have to thank Ben Baby, the ESPN Bengals reporter, who gave us an update on Joe Burrow after we heard that his injury, unfortunately, was actually ACL, MCL, and surrounding structures. So thanks to Ben Baby for joining us. Also, David Hale, ESPN college football reporter, who broke down the ACC protocols that really caused Clemson coach Dabo Swinney's complaints. And I say complaints, and I'm being nice about it.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst and also one of the hosts of NFL Live, who told us the quarterback that just took a loss, but somehow is still winning. If you missed any of those conversations, Ben Baby, David Hill, and Mina Kimes, check out our podcast, Chinay Golick Jr. Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. And also, you can rewatch us on ESPN Plus, where we are streaming. We lie, baby. Is that approved, Cliff? We lie, baby.
I love it, actually. I really love it.
There
you
go.
Actually killed it with the accent.
He's just happy the show's almost done. He's like, you know.
No, that's not true. You had the little H-Town twang in there. Say that again.
We lie, baby.
There we go. See, we found it. You found a way to come through at the end of the day and win on this one here.
Thank you. Finally, better late than never.
Found a way to get there. We all found a way to get here and navigate a Monday right here. It was busy, a lot like you mentioned. College coaches very much in their feelings about a pandemic causing a postponement of a football game, which I don't know where we've been. That's been happening. But we'll worry about that, a bunch of coaching changes, and all this other news right now. Let's keep the energy up. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Hit me.
All right, Janae. Well, this is what happens when you guys let me loose on this and I actually throw stuff in the Google Doc right here, is it all ends up being Notre Dame stuff. So.
Oh, gosh.
First up, keeping that same energy. Dallas Cowboys moved their all-pro guard Zach Martin out to right tackle for their game against this weekend against the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, they were a bit shorthanded. The offensive line health has been in question all year. Zach Martin, in his first start at tackle since he played at the University of Notre Dame, didn't allow a single QB pressure Sunday versus the Minnesota Vikings. Zach out here balling like that remains so, putting everyone on notice, reminding people of the fact that I told them long ago, Janae, that if you had wanted to play Zach Martin at tackle in the NFL, despite everyone's comments about arm length and all this nonsense, he still would have held it down there and been a Pro Bowler, but I digress.
I love it because it's funny. You know, clearly let the people know. You talk about arm length. You talk about your hand size. Let people know.
Let people know. If you go out there and you can ball, you're still going to go out there and ball and do the damn thing. Zach Martin holding it down for everybody. Keeping that same energy, Chennai. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool scored again this weekend. I am shocked. I can't believe this is still happening. Chase Claypool becomes the first wide receiver in the Super Bowl era, it's a long time, and the fourth in league history with at least 10 touchdowns in his first 10 career games.
Snaps.
Hey, put him on every rookie top 10 list. I understand Justin Jefferson's doing a great job here right now, but T. Higgins on the list over him? No, sir. No. Will not stand for it. Will not be about it in here. Chase Claypool has gone out here and produced at a high level on a team that had a known commodity in that wide receiver room, and yet Chase has come in and looked every bit like the one on that squad.
I think that's
no,
it.
No, sir. Have to be... No.
Oh, no, not today, sir. I mean, I understand that bias because whenever we had Stanford players, it's like you have to really overdo and overcome over the course of a season to really prove people that you're just as good, especially when you don't come from, like, LSU, like Jefferson. So I get it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, not totally the same because we're good, but, you know, there's that too.
We were gooder when I was at school. We beat y'all more often than not, so you can calm down, sir.
All right, you know what?
So you get one win over Clemson and you feel brand new. Go off, King. Psych.
It's a great place we've arrived in right now. ACC, ACC, I love conference play. Janae, I love this even more, though.
Okay.
This courtesy of our own Zach Lowe. In an unprecedented meeting, a delegation of five NBA players and several officials from the NBA Players Association met with Pope Francis at the Vatican on Monday for a private audience to discuss their work on social justice issues. An assistant to Pope Francis had reached out to the PA last week, indicating that the Pope wanted to learn more about how the players had recently brought attention to pressing social justice issues and economic inequality and what they planned for in the future, union officials told ESPN. Chennai, is the Pope a bucket? Like, where are we at on this? Do we think the Pope reached out because he's secretly hoping to show everyone that he can hoop?
Look, I bet you he got a mean jumper. For real, though. But honestly, like, those are the type of things. My parents, you know, we have parents in sports that, like, oh, I met this person or hanging out with this athlete. They're like, But if it's the Pope, my parents would be like, what? Send here, I'm going to give you beads, bless these, all that. I'm just mad we didn't get the invite. Like, the MBPA, where's the WMBPA? Like, we should have been on the trip.
That is true. I'd be high-key salty on that one. Like, you're part of the executive committee. Where's your trip to the Vatican here?
Let me just tell you, my grandma would have gone crazy.
I feel like the Pope is one of those meetings, Chennai, where, like, no matter what's going on, because who knows what the Pope offered them in the way of usable advice in this situation or help on what's going forward, but you take the meeting with the Pope. It's like Oprah. Like, if you get a chance to sit down and talk with Oprah about anything, look, you're sitting there having that meeting.
I would have used that for the free trip, and then I've been like, forget y'all. Bless me finding my next husband. Bless me on this next season for this championship. Bless this show, okay, Chennai and Gold Jr. Just all the blessings. I want all of them. And, oh, yeah, y'all can talk to them, too.
By the way, we want to explain to you all the great work that we've been doing about this upcoming NBA season. We've got some real great plans that we think can help out the community here. But also,
while we're here, though.
While we're here, it has been a while. The Clippers really trying to get back on track here. Like, how can we make this happen? Chris Paul's getting ready to head out to Arizona. Maybe the Suns get a look here. I'm just spitballing.
I'm telling you, look, shoot your shot. Pope included.
That is true. We'll get to finding out eventually what the Pope's game might look like in all of this. But again, a heck of a trip for the NBA players going out to the Vatican to try and make things happen. We will look forward to seeing what happens on Monday Night Football. Spain and Fitz going to take it over for you here on ESPN Radio next.